Welcome on into the 8 o'clock hour, a busy one at that. It is Chris Thomas tonight. Turtle! Make sure you go vote on the poll about if Michael Penix Jr. should play in the preseason or not. You can find that at CT Tonight 929. But right now, we got to head out to the WadeFord.com hotline. Welcome in Jeremy Johnson. He covers the Dogs for a variety of different outlets, and make sure you check him out on Twitter as well to follow all of his content. Jeremy, let's start here. Wow, Texas Tech, somebody there must have hit the lottery, because the amount of money they are shelling out, even more today. The number one recruit in the 2027 class is headed to Texas Tech. Five-star edge LaDainian Guyton chose the Red Raiders over South Carolina, Tennessee, and his home state of Georgia. What do you make of their latest windfall of cash going to another big-time player, especially from our state?
Yeah, they are being very aggressive, and their GM made it clear what their intentions are. You know, they kind of made the statement that if, you know, you're being underpaid by some of these bigger schools and some of these, you know, the typical powerhouses, then they would go and try to be, you know, and beat that offer. And that's kind of where they are. And, you know, that's kind of the lay of the land when it comes to Texas Tech right now. I mean, they're doing it with, you know, in the premium position. See, this is an edge player that, you know, these guys are hard to find. So they were very aggressive. And, you know, he still has a year of high school football after this year. So, you know, I don't think that one is all the way over. But getting in here and making this one was a big splash for them and put them on the map nationally, even more so than they had been, you know, with their move with Felix Ojo this summer.
Now, with all that said, Jeremy, that doesn't mean the Dogs haven't been cooking as well. Talk to our audience about the type of summer that Kirby's had.
Yeah, they've reeled in. Right now they have number two class, and, you know, they've landed some big fish as well. I mean, obviously it's headlined by the quarterback position. Five-star Jared Curtis committed, I want to say in the beginning of the summer, maybe like April. I believe it was April or early May, but that was a big get for them. And, you know, they've had a top class, another one with some big alignment and some, you know, good receivers as well. Got three tight ends committed. You know, obviously the tight end position is very important at Georgia. I think they hit a lot of the things that they wanted to hit. And, you know, there's still maybe a few pieces here or there that they'll be looking to add, but, you know, for the most part, it's August 6th or August 7th, and the class is probably 90% done. So, you know, that kind of tells you what they did this summer when they got those guys on campus. They had a lot of them come in and got them and committed them, and they're kind of shutting them down. So that's kind of where, you know, where I expect this to be, at least until we get to December.
When it comes to Jared Curtis, you mentioned him. Do you think that could signal the end of Ryan Puglisi in Athens?
No, I do feel like Ryan will compete with whoever. I think he'll probably give it a shot next spring. And, you know, who knows? Georgia does not care how old people are. I mean, they care about experience. And, you know, obviously with the financial part of what playing college football is today, you can't necessarily have 17 guys that are, you know, highly, you know, recruited guys that are just kind of standing around doing nothing. But I think there will be a competition, and I do think, you know, Ryan Puglisi is as talented as anyone, and I think, you know, he'll get a shot to, you know, be the number two or even compete for the starting job next year should Gunnar Stockton go pro or something, if that's how that shakes out.
Talking with Jeremy Johnson, you can catch him at Dogs HQ, Rivals on 3, on Twitter at @JeremyO_Johnson for all things Dogs. What did you make of Kirby Smart's comments, speaking of Rivals and recruiting and youngsters? He was really stressing, Jeremy, about how the young player needs to be coachable, needs to be more desirable in their love for the game of football. He feels like there's been a slip in that sense with the new age of athletes, with the NIL and the transfer portal. Is that something that you've seen as well?
Absolutely. I mean, you see some of these guys, and they've got it made in a lot of ways that they did not in the past. I mean, you know, you get to college and you got a couple hundred grand in your bank account. I mean, as physical of a sport as football is, it's hard to stay hungry when it's already paying you well and making you and you're changing your family's lives, which, you know, ultimately that's a lot of these guys' goal, and that's great, and I don't think that's an issue. But also, I think Georgia has a very specific type of player that they want, and they recruit that. I mean, I can go down the list of these 30 guys that have committed. Each one of those guys fall into that category, and they have this insatiable love for the sport. I think you said it the correct way. I mean, that is what Kirby Smart and that staff, they go, and it's not just about the physical traits. It's the, hey, why do you play football? How much do you like playing football? And, you know, what does this mean to you? And I think they've already recruited that into their program. So getting it on campus and then also trying to, you know, hey, these guys have been the guys on their high school teams. Well, now you're not the guy anymore. And you probably won't be because everyone here is good. So that grind of having to compete every single day for everything, that's hard to ask for when you're a young player. And it takes a while, but eventually they mold into those guys that, you know, are used to that culture.
What have you seen and heard and read and reported on about the growth of Gunnar Stockton this offseason to transition into full-time starter?
Yeah, I think he's getting more comfortable just being the guy and, you know, and being able to make the reads and, you know, with what they're trying to do and how they're doing it, you know, maybe a little differently than they may have done it with Carson. And it seems like, you know, there guys really like Gunnar Stockton. And I think that the more he plays and the more he's able to kind of be in command that room and that huddle, you know, I think that's kind of been the takeaway that I've had. People seem to really, really, really like Gunnar Stockton. And I try to remember who it was, but on the radio, I must say it was Drew Bobo got on the radio with you guys a couple of days ago, and he was talking about his switch. And I'm like, I've kind of experienced seeing that, you know, just being on the recruiting side. I kind of talked to him and, you know, interviewed him before game, and he's been really, oh, man, I'm high. Yes, sir, thanks. And then he gets on the field and throws a football out of the stadium after he scores a touchdown. I'm like, whoa, this is different. I think that being able to hone that intensity, but then also be a likable and approachable human being is something that he's always had, but he's even enhanced that even more. And that doesn't really help you complete touchdown passes and throw deep balls, but I think he's gotten more comfortable in that as well.
Well, I was just about to ask, that's a perfect segue into my next question. With all of the transfers at wide receiver and a guy like Colby Young getting back in the fray, all reports are that he's really turned a bad situation into good and become a leader out there. How much do you think they're going to try to push the ball down the field?
Yeah, I mean, I think they want to run the ball. And I mean, and what comes with running the football is that play action. I mean, going deep and throwing the ball down the football field, I think that would be something that would be a big part of their offense. And, you know, they've got the guys that are capable of going to do it. I mean, you talked about Colby Young, that he's a big body and get down the field. And you got Noah Thomas from A&M. Zachariah Branch is another guy from USC. And even some of these young receivers, C.J. Wiley, Talon Taylor, these guys are all designed to play down the football field and go make big plays. So I think that's what you're looking at. You're going to have that, you know, that stretch zone, and, you know, they're going to run the football and they're going to beat Georgia from that aspect. But, you know, when they're not running the ball, they're attacking you down the football field.
How much of the running game do you think is going to be Frazier, and how much is going to be a committee?
You know, I think a lot of it will be committee, just because, you know, Georgia likes to keep their guy. They like to keep their guys fresh, and you know, you could find yourself in a couple games where you find a guy that's not Nate Frazier that gets hot, and you just continue to feed him the football. So, I think Nate Frazier will get a lot of the early carries, and he'll be the guy that gets a lot of those passing down catches as well. He's a very talented player that, you know, I think they really like, and I think they, you know, will rely on a lot this year. And you know, he's kind of the guy, but, you know, there's four other guys in that room that can really play as well. So, Bo Walker's the one that, you know, a lot of people have been talking about out of camp. And, you know, he's a freshman, but, you know, he's really talented. He's played a lot of big football, you know, being from the city of Atlanta. So, I don't think anything will be too big for him. And then you got Roddy Robinson and Josh McCray. You know, whenever he finally gets out there, you know, those two guys are two veteran guys that'll be, you know, part of the fray as well.
Listen, I know it's hard to live up to the status of a Nick Chubb or a Todd Gurley, but what do you think is the main culprit of the lack of bulldog, for lack of a better phrase, star running back that UGA has been used to having over the last few years, when in more recent vintage it's been, like you said, a committee approach, and they haven't had that singular talent, that, you know, five-star, top five draft pick sort of guy?
Well, I mean, I think it's been injury. I mean, bad luck. I mean, you think about Zamir White. Zamir White had every accolade you could think of coming out of high school. He's a 5-star. And then he blows his knee out twice. And that kind of changes how that room looked a little bit, you know, in those years where he was trying to recover. And then you get Kendall Milton, who's also a 5-star all-world guy coming in. And, you know, he has some knee issues and he has some injury issues and he's banged up. And he finally takes hold in his senior year. But, I mean, those guys were supposed to be those guys, you know. And you start to look around and you're like, okay, well, you know, you bring in Nate Frazier and now he's kind of stepping into that same ilk. He was a 5-star guy that a lot of people thought was one of the best running backs in his class. So he's supposed to be the next guy. I mean, but you know, Georgia just had some tough luck with the injury bug around that room the last couple of years.
We know Oscar Delp is going to be the main tight end that's going to be thrown to this year. Who are the guys behind him that we should be looking for?
Yeah, Lawson Lucky will be back. You know, I think he'll get a lot of work, and he played a lot last year. But there's a freshman, he'll be a redshirt freshman, Jaden Riddell, that was a 5-star at one point, coming in from the class of, I guess it would have been 2024, about 6'6", 6'5", big, strong, athletic guy that played ex-receiver in high school. I think Coach Hartley talked about him a little bit this week, saying that, you know, he had to kind of learn how to play tight end. And, you know, some of the things that comes with playing tight end, you have to learn how to block, you have to learn about that physicality. And I think that's the guy that's kind of pigeoned to be that next third guy that kind of gets some of these reps. There are some young guys, Elias Williams and Ethan Barber, that are going to be, you know, freakazoids at some point. It's just a matter of when they will get their turn, and we'll see when that happens for them. But, you know, Georgia's tight end room is still stacked, and it's still got a lot of talent, and each of these guys can help in different ways. And I think, you know, especially those top three, you'll see a lot of those guys this year.
Now, before I let you go, I think, you know, a lot of it fell on the shoulders of Carson Beck, unfortunately. But the offensive line did have its struggles at times, too. How do you view the state of the offensive line going into this season?
I think they have a talented group. And I think, you know, it's just a matter of them getting time and finding out who the guys are going to be. You know, last year they had a group of guys that played together. They played a lot of football. And some of those guys were having to play roles that they may not. Like Ernest Green will be your right tackle this year. He started out the season last year playing right left tackle. So, you know, I think having some of that now, those guys settling into the roles that they're kind of more fitted for, and then also having a good bill of health with Monroe Freeland being healthy and Ernest, you know, dealing with some injuries himself last year, being healthy. And then that interior having Drew Bobo, and there's a battle going on at right guard between Michael Uni and Daniel Calhoun. And you have left guard will be Michael Morris. And I think he's battling with a younger guy, Jamal Merriweather. And obviously Juan Gaston, a true freshman that's from Westlake High School, will play somewhere in this competition as well. So just getting some, there's so many good athletes that, you know, I think the first part of the year will just kind of be figuring out who and who goes where. And then once that happens, I think you'll get that cohesiveness. But there's some good athletes up front this year for Georgia.
Jeremy, appreciate the time. We'll be checking you out, and we'll make sure we give you a follow on Twitter at @JeremyO_Johnson. Appreciate the time. We'll chat soon.
Absolutely. Thank you for having me.
All right. That is Jeremy Johnson there, UGA Insider. Interesting stuff there. Sounds like he's confident in a lot of the areas that were deficient for the Dogs last year. We'll see. Week one is just a couple of weeks away. Some college football when we get back. A couple of Falcons made their way onto the station, and I'm excited to hear from them. And one of them is Braylon Trice. He joined the morning shift this morning, and they were able to catch up with the guy who's looking to make some noise coming off the injury. And we'll see if he can crack the D-line rotation. Hear from him coming up next. It's Chris Thomas Tonight with you till 10.